And thank you, choir, for your mystery to us today. I want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, 22 through 30. John 10, 22 through 30, New International Version. And the text says, "Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.'" The word of the Lord. My title simply is Never. Are you familiar with the expression "once saved, always saved"? It's an expression that answers the question, can a Christian lose her or his salvation? And when we talk about that question, it's called a discussion about eternal security. Eternal security addresses another question: is my salvation secure for all eternity? And let me say up front, are y'all with me?
Yes.
Let me say up front, a person can choose faith and decide to follow Jesus, and that choice brings salvation to that person. If a person can choose faith, a person can also renounce their faith. A person can decide to no longer maintain faith and follow Jesus. That has been mentioned in Scripture. Paul prays about Demas, who left him, who turned his back on the church and faith. Our issue is not about that today. Our issue is, if a person chooses faith, Christ by faith, becomes a Christian, and doesn't renounce their faith, can they ever lose their faith? Can anything or anyone take away their salvation? That's the crux of what we're sharing today. And so again, the text says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." So Jesus uses a powerful word. He says, never. He says, they shall never perish. He also says, no one will or can snatch them out of his hand. That's unequivocal. That's definite. Once persons join Christ by faith, they will never perish. Once persons are in the hand of Christ, no one will and no one can snatch them out. When I think about what Jesus says in these verses, the operative word for me is never. So this isn't on my paper, it just popped in. So actually, a preacher or a pastor never preaches a person into heaven or to hell. You don't have the authority to do that. It's your faith in Christ that determines your eternal destiny. Now let's walk through what Jesus teaches in this passage. He uses two pronouns. He says they and he says them. His definitive statement about eternal salvation, when he says will never perish, is a reference to they and to them. Well, to whom does Jesus refer when he says they, when he says them? The answer is found in verses 26 and 27. The text says, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So Jesus is making this promise of never, of eternal security to his sheep. In this text, Jesus is having a discussion with the Jews. And when Luke says the Jews, he doesn't mean all the Jews, all of the people. He really refers to the religious establishment. So Jesus is talking to the leaders when Luke says the Jews, and they have come to Jesus to investigate him. They question him about his identity as the Messiah. Tell us plainly, are you really the Messiah? They question him about his identity as the Son of God. Listen to what they say. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. So Jesus' response to their inquiry is that the Jews do not believe his testimony. They are not convinced even about his miracles. And that's instructive because for some people, final proof is never enough. Listen on my paper, just let me drop this off parenthetically. If you're trying to waste your time proving stuff to somebody, there's some folk you can never prove anything through to. So don't waste your time. Anyway, Jesus then makes an important point. The religious leaders do not believe because they are not his sheep. Jesus' sheep are those who believe in Jesus. They are those who accept Jesus by faith. Jesus' sheep believe the miracles he performs are done through the power of God. So they believe in Jesus. There are other things about his sheep. His sheep recognize him as the true shepherd. They know his voice when he speaks. The sheep recognize him because they spend time with him, and he spends time with them. Jesus' sheep demonstrate obedience because he says, they follow me. You have to read the earlier section of the 10th chapter to get the fuller context. But Jesus in that earlier section says, I'm the true shepherd who cares for the sheep. And the sheep are so accustomed to his care and his voice that they follow and obey him. The Jews do not believe because they are not Jesus' sheep. And the sheep are the ones who believe in Jesus Christ. Now let me just drop this off. It doesn't say that his sheep are members of a particular congregation or connected to a particular Christian denomination. It says his sheep are the ones who believe him, who accept him by faith. Knowledge of the Messiah isn't a matter, someone suggests, of getting proof or processing information. Knowledge of Jesus and who he is a matter of transformation, not information, transformation. And that transformation occurs through faith in Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says never, that never is promised to his sheep, to those who believe in him. A man becomes very ill. It's a long, protracted sickness. He's hospitalized for several months. And the only visitors he gets are persons from a nearby church. They don't visit the man because they know him. They visit the man because they have a ministry of visitation at that hospital. Yeah. And when this man is released from the hospital to hospice care, those church members who visited him continue their visits. None of his friends come. No family members come. And the man dies. In his will, he leaves his home and his substantial financial holdings to the church near that hospital. It isn't until later that the church realizes that that man has a family. He has children and he has grandchildren. And they inquire about his decision to leave everything to the church. And the lawyer tells the church that the man said to him, "The folk who visited me, the folk who cared for me, are my true family. They maintain a connection that my children never care to maintain." And that's important. He saw his family as those who were connected to him and those who were caring for him. And Jesus is saying that's what he means about the sheep. The sheep are those who are connected to him. And they are connected to him by their faith in Jesus and their acceptance to him. They have a connection rooted in faith. So doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter what your name is. Doesn't matter what your background is. Every person who is connected to Jesus by faith is a part of his family and is a person to whom Jesus says, never perish. Now, he goes on to say that nobody can or nobody will snatch them, the sheep, out of his hand. But who are the snatchers? Who are the snatchers? The Spirit says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Jesus knows that his sheep are in peril, that there are those who would harm the sheep. There are those who would steal the sheep. There are those who would mislead the sheep. There are those who would abandon the sheep. They are the snatchers. But who are these snatchers? Listen to John 10, beginning at verse 7. "Therefore Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep has not listened to them. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The snatchers," Jesus says, "are thieves, robbers, and pretenders. And their objective is to steal, kill, and destroy." And Jesus is teaching that there are snatchers who do not care about the sheep. They just want to take advantage of the sheep. There are messianic pretenders. There were many people saying that they were the Messiah in Jesus. Messianic pretenders out there claiming to be the Christ, but they are frauds. They mislead, they deceive, and they snatch the sheep for profit. And Jesus reminds the sheep that he is the true shepherd. And the true shepherd, unlike the snatchers, will never abandon the sheep. He will lay his life down for the sheep. So Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, I'm going to be a blocker for you. I'm going to block anybody, any person that tries to snatch you out of my hand. Because he knows there are a lot of forces out there. There are a lot of persons out there that are trying to snatch you away from faith and snatch you away from the church. And he says, I'm going to block all snatchers, so that they will never be able to get the sheep out of his hand and out of his care. A mother elephant on the Kalahari gives birth to a baby elephant away from the herd. And as she tries to nurse her baby, she's suddenly surrounded by a group of lions. And the mother knows how dangerous the lions can be, but she does everything she can to protect her baby. The lions attack from all sides, but the mother elephant is fierce. She spins around and around to ward off the attacks. And as she defends her baby, she screeches loudly and alerts the herd. And as she's spinning around, protecting her baby from the lions, the herd comes to her rescue. And they surround the mother and the baby elephant and chase the lions away. That's what Jesus says he'll do for you when you're in his hand. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. God will be a blocker for you. As parents, we know about what it means to block. We try to protect our children. We try to keep them from the wrong crowd. And sometimes we got to show up and say, oh, no, 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 no. You know, sometimes a daughter will be caught up with some rascal. And then you look at the young man and you know he's a rascal. He walks like a rascal. He talks like a rascal. He moves like a rascal. You know he's a rascal, but your daughter thinks he's the best thing walking on the earth. You're trying your best to snatch her away from the grip. A lot of snatchers out there. Drugs can be a snatcher. A crime can be a snatcher. Your enemies can be a snatcher. But Jesus says, when the sheep are in my hand, and I protect them, and nobody can snatch them out of my hand. So your salvation is secure because Jesus does the blocking. And how? And I'm done. How does he guarantee it? How does he guarantee our salvation? This never statement. He says in verse 29, my Father who has given them the sheep to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He gives the secret to the Jews. He says, my ministry is sanctioned by the Father. In fact, Jesus says, my ministry is the ministry of the Father. The Father, Jesus teaches, is greater than everybody. And there's no power greater than God. Jesus says, in effect, God is behind what I'm doing. When I gather people as sheep, when I gather them through faith, God is behind it. Jesus says, the Father and I are one. We're doing the same work. You heard a preacher say yesterday, reading John, I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, night is coming. When no man can work. So Jesus says, when you see the Son, you see the Father. And when you see the Father, you see the Son. So the sheep are granted eternal life and will never perish. And it's secured through the power of God the Father. This isn't on my paper. You can go through confirmation class and get a certificate that you completed confirmation class. But the class cannot guarantee your salvation. The only guarantee comes from God through the power of God who is greater than everybody else. God not only sanctions his ministry, but guarantees salvation to all whom Jesus offers life. Our salvation is guaranteed because our salvation is in God's hand. You better know that. Somebody says, where are you going to spend eternity? Say, I'm going to heaven. Somebody says, where are you going when you say, I'm going to heaven? You better know that because it's guaranteed by God. A little boy decides to test the wisdom of an old man. You might have heard this before. He catches a little bird and holds it in his hand. And he says to himself, I'll go up to the old man, tell him I have a bird in my hand and ask whether the bird is dead or alive. And if the old man says the bird is alive, I'll crush it and kill it. And if the old man says the bird is dead, I'll present it to him alive. Either way, I'll outsmart the old man. And so the little boy goes up to the old man and tests him. He has the bird in his hand behind his back. He says, tell me, sir. I got a bird in my hand. Tell me, is the bird dead or alive? And the old man thinks for a moment and then says to the little boy, it's in your hand. If it's dead, it's in your hand. If it's alive, it's in your hand. In other words, the old man is wise enough to know that the little boy has the control. And as long as the bird is in his hand, he can determine what happens to it. And that's what Jesus is saying about the Father. That life is in the Father's hands. That eternal life is in the Father's hands. He determines who lives. He determines who dies. He determines who's going to heaven. He determines where we will spend eternity. No more paper, but I'll get through in a minute. Listen here. You can write out the most elaborate obituary you want and put in all of those entries about all those organizations you were in. But if you're not in God's hands, and if your heart has not turned over to Jesus, it doesn't matter what the obituary says. You think God is going to stand on judgment day and say, show me your obituary. Let me look it over. Let me see. Okay, come on in the glory. Oh, no. He's got his own record vouchsafed in glory. He knows what we've done. He knows how we have lived. One of the most important words in this text as I conclude is never. Never is definitive. Never suggests permanence. We have to be careful when we say never. We can say never, but we can't always guarantee it. The doctor can perform surgery or prescribe medication, and the surgery and the medication might correct the problem. But the doctor cannot definitively say to you, never. He might say the scans are clean, and I don't see any sign of cancer. But the doctor can't promise never. A lawyer might successfully argue our case in court and win the trial, but the lawyer cannot definitively say never. A tornado might come through town and completely destroy your house, knock it down to the foundation, and a contractor can come and rebuild the house. But after he rebuilds the house, the contractor cannot guarantee viability. The contractor can't say never. He cannot say, I'll build you a hurricane-proof house. He cannot say, I'll build you a tornado-proof house. He cannot say, I'll build you a flood-proof house, because the contractor doesn't control the wind. And he doesn't control the water. We might say many things, but we got to be careful about saying never. Saying to somebody, I'll never hurt you. You don't know what life will bring. Hang around a little while. Or saying to you, I'll never leave you. Or I'll never betray you. We cannot always back up what we say. We have to be careful about that word never. But when Jesus says never, he promises that we will never perish. He can say never because he's backed up by the power of God. It's different when God says never and when we say never. Years ago, I heard them say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. But somebody issued a corrective to that statement and said, God said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not. Because if God said it, God can back it up. God said it. That settles it. God said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God said it. That settles it. God said, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. God said it. That settles it. God said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. God said it, that settles it. God said, I will never fail thee or forsake thee. God said it, that settles it. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God said it. That settles it. God said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. God said it. That settles it. I want you to know I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad I beat the devil running, and I'm so glad on my way to heaven. On my way to heaven, on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad the world can't do me no harm. Hallelujah. Ah. Old folks say, they sing, Lord, I know I've been changed. How you know you've been changed? The angels in heaven done signed my name. God said it, and that settles it. So we're saved today because of his guarantee. So leave out of here and say never. And let the devil come after you and say you can't do nothing to me. Let the enemy come after you and say you can't do nothing to me. And they say, why do you think you're so good? Say, I know I'm not good, but my Father in heaven, he's good. He's got his arms wrapped around me. He walks with me. He talks with me. He holds me in his hand. I want to extend the invitation to Jesus Christ. I want you to know who are watching YouTube and those of you listening here, you can be sure of your eternal destiny. Jesus promises eternal life to his sheep, to those who believe. He blocks the snatchers, and we are held safe in the hands of God. If you want to receive that security today, won't you reach out to us at belonging@ebc3austin.org. If you're here in the sanctuary, the deacons are coming, the greeters are coming. Won't you get up from wherever you are, walk down the aisle and say, I want to follow Jesus. Choir, I want to sing, I've decided to make Jesus my choice. Will you stand and help me out?
Maybe ragged that I'm wearing.
The hills are hard to climb.
The hills are
hard to climb. I started out. I started out a long time ago.
A long time ago.
There is no doubt.
There is no doubt. In my heart, I decide.
One more time.
To make Jesus my joy.
Anybody decided? Anybody decided?
The glory is
mine. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.
And the hills are hard to climb. I started out a long time ago, but there is no doubt in my mind.
I decided to thank Jesus. Come on now, let's sing it one more time. The road is rough.
Welcome to the table of the Lord. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The blessing on the bread and the cup.
Oh God, now as we come to this table, we're reminded of your sacrifice that you gave through your Son, Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed for our sins, so that we may have a right to the tree of life.
Yes.
But not just us, oh God, anyone who comes to this table, anyone who confesses Christ as their Lord and Savior,
yes,
has the opportunity to come to a body of people that believe in you,
yes,
a God who has all power, a God who can heal, a God who can move and make a way. Lord, we thank you for this moment, and we remember that sacrifice. We lift these elements to you through Christ and by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Amen.